When I was a kid, my maternal grandparents were very important to me, and they kind of helped raise me. My father was gone, and my mother was working full time, so her parents stepped in, and I've written a lot of pieces about my relationship with them. So this one's called Grandma's Hands. "Come on," Grandma says, "we'll get some coffee." The coffee grinder hangs its drawn, dark face on the landing halfway up to her attic. The contraption presents a dour mug with a licorice pipe of a handle sticking down out of its mouth. Bolted to the wall, it stores exotic beans for her pot of morning pick-me-up. Over the luxury of a cup, mixed half and half with whole milk, she talks about the neighbors, their habits, peculiarities, religious beliefs. Mrs. Schmidt has a goiter. The new people across the street are Catholic, but they are nice people nonetheless. Baker Charles Zack had an operation on his gallbladder. The streetcar line has changed its schedule, so she has to be careful to get down to the corner at the right time to go shopping at Yar's Market. It has not rained for 3 weeks, and the flocks need water. By age 10, I can turn the handle of the coffee grinder myself. Below the glass jar, the cast iron gears turn, crushing the beans mercilessly. Grandma places her tin cup under the mouth of the grinder, and at her signal, I begin to turn, slowly at first, then more vigorously, until she throws her head back with a laugh and calls for me to stop. The aroma of the beans swells through the staircase. Speaking of Central American rainforests, East Indian jungles, high African plateaus where lions run and hippos bathe in muddy streams. In my adventure-starved brain, I see people living in grass huts. As Grandma tamps the coffee down in the cup, I look at her hands and see them as though for the first time. Sad old hands, wrinkled, misshapen, yet magical in 100 ways. Large as a man's hands, they shake the grate in the kitchen wood stove, cook paper-thin apple pancakes, thread a needle and darn a sock. Those hands dig carrots out of the vegetable garden close by the garage where Grandpa's 1936 Chevy is parked. Grandma's hands have never gripped the steering wheel of that machine, never crossed the line into that male territory. Everything else is fair game. Hands rough and wrinkled, all angles and corners. Hands made for shaking rag rugs out the back door. Hands showing muscle and sinew when she takes her wooden spoon in hand and cradling the mixing bowl in the crook of her arm, flails away at the batter. Useful hands, having worked 60 years in the kitchen, garden, laundry, keeping things in order, keeping her world in time. Not yet used up, but showing the scars of a life of labor. Thumbnails creased down the middle, thickened and lined, and long since turned deep rusty brown. She lays her hands on the table next to her rosebud cup and places one hand on top of the other and asks if I care to join her. I hold my cup out to her like a beggar in the streets of Calcutta. "Not too much," she warns. "Too much coffee will stunt your growth. Grandpa drinks too much coffee, and look at him, he'll never get any taller than he is." The little finger of her right hand stands out from the rest of her hand, declaring its unique importance. It is a badge of identification among her clan, a kind of family coat of arms, confirming some sort of arcane nobility. Hers is the nobility of usefulness. Those hands weed the garden and run clothes through the wringer washer, then stitch up a pattern on the foot-cranked singer before starting a supper of roast beef, mashed potatoes and gravy, peas and carrots, lemon meringue pie. Those hands tie bows in the wreath on the front door at Christmas and take Grandpa's hand to dance tunes from the Victrola. They show me how to fold a newspaper to create a tricorn hat. They dip bluegills in egg batter, then flour, before frying them to a golden brown. They hook a rag rug for hours on end, working, forever working. They pull radishes and beets from the rich brown soil, the root unable to resist Grandma's powerful hands. Her saving hands leap to whatever task there is to be done. Hands on knees, she boosts herself up on the attic stairs. She carries a dust rag in the pocket of her apron as she makes her rounds, wiping off counters, sills, knickknacks with those noble hands. And that's our program for today. Thank you all very much for coming. We have a great time with our group, and we just love to share it with each other every Monday and with you tonight. And a special thanks to Bob Park, who is recording this for his radio station, WIDELP. Be sure to tune in, because heck, we may be on it. Thank you again, everybody.